is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and our blog and our newsletter. And also please subscribe to our channel and check out our great sponsors, Your Dolce Vita, Italy Rooting, and Abitivo Casa. And today I have a great guest. I love when I get to speak to somebody who was born in Italy, Deanne Marie Pissera. So welcome, Deanne.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, it's great. Like I said, I love having people who were born in Italy because I'm so used to interviewing Italian Americans and not real Italians. So, you have so much going on, and I want to hit on your podcast and some of the other things that you do. But before we do that, where were you born in Italy? When did you come and why?
Okay, so my family is originally from Calabria. My parents moved up to Northern Italy in Friuli, Venezia Giulia, and that's where I was born and lived there for 8 years. That, like, in the summers around Christmas, we would always go down to Calabria just because my nonni, my grandparents were still there. So we would just spend like our summers and our holidays there. But I lived up north in Friuli. My parents moved up there just because there was more job opportunities there. My dad was actually in the army there. So, you know, they moved and then I was born and went to school there. Then my parents actually got divorced when I was 8 years old. And my mom and I moved to Calabria for 1 year. So I did my third grade in Calabria. We stayed with my grandparents in their house. And then my mom and I moved to the US, to New York, when I was 9 years old. And we really just moved here because of the divorce. And my mom didn't want to stay in Calabria just because she didn't think I was going to get fair opportunities there for career and whatnot. And we already had family here. So she decided to make the move and we moved to New York, but it was just my mom and I.
Oh, that's interesting. And where in Calabria? Because I have a lot of Calabrian listeners.
Okay, so we're in province of Vibo Valentia. So we're in that area by Pizzo. Tropea is my favorite place on earth. So I'm 45 minutes from Tropea, but yeah, it's literally my favorite place ever.
I can imagine. We didn't get to Tropea and when we went, not last year, the year before.
Okay.
Already 2 years already, but we went to Sheila and
beautiful.
Boy, we just fell in love with it there. Nobody knows about Sheila.
I know. Sheila is beautiful, but I have such like a deep connection with Tropea because I used to go there in the summer with my grandparents, with my cousins. Like, so I just have like such like a great memory of that place. And I love the beach. I love the shops, the restaurants. So it has everything that to make me happy. So that I always say it's my favorite place ever. And then last year, I actually got engaged in Tropea. So that was another reason now that I have to love the place even more.
Fantastic. I keep telling my wife, because she keeps saying, well, if we were ever going to buy a place in Italy, I want to live in Sheila because, you know, it's got the water, it's got the mountains, it got everything.
Yeah.
And I say, but I tell her, I said, well, we haven't been to Tropea. So
it's definitely, Sheila is less hectic. I think Tropea through the years, it's gained popularity and it definitely got a little bit more busy and just more tourists are going there just because it has gotten more popular through the years. Sheila is a little bit quieter. I mean, it's gorgeous. I love it there, but I would definitely say like that's a main difference right now.
And my Calabrian connection is that my grandmother's, my paternal grandmother's great, great, great grandfather was the Count of Montebello. Piermalo is his name.
Okay.
But so they were all, but you know, they lived in Naples, but
okay,
they would go to Calabria once or twice a year, they told me. And it's hard to imagine how these people 100, 150 years ago would get from Naples to Calabria because it's a trip today.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to ask you, because I listened to your American Dream podcast, and I found it fascinating because, you know, you lived, personally lived, what some of my aunts and uncles lived and my grandparents lived.
Yes.
And you explained that it wasn't easy. So was it hard leaving Italy? What was harder, leaving Italy and your friends behind and your grandparents, or trying to get things going in America?
I think I would say get things going in America, because I think I was so young that I didn't really, like, I knew what was going on, but I didn't realize, like, how big of a change it was. So obviously I was sad, like, I was sad to leave family behind, you know? But, and I was a 9-year-old girl. I was sad because I was leaving some of my favorite toys behind, you know, like, think about it. Like, I was a very, like, young kid. Like, my mom, I remember this hat. I was always into Barbie, and I had a ton of Barbies. And my mom is like, you have to pick 10 of them because, you know, like, we can't just bring everything over. And I was just like, I remember just, I hated leaving that stuff behind, but I was such, like, a young kid that, like, I was a little kid, you know, like, a little kid, you know, what are you thinking about? Like, you're thinking about, like, your toys, you're thinking about, like, your friends, like, that's what's really what was going on in my head. But then when I got here, and I think I went to school, then I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know what's going on here. Like, it was kind of like, and I was always a good student in Italy. So I had to basically go from being, like, a really good student in Italy to going to school here and not getting good grades just because I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't understand, like, anybody. I didn't have friends. It was just, it's, you know, it was sad because I was just there. Like, I would just try to do what everybody else did and, you know, fit in. But it was very nerve wracking because I had, like, no idea, like, what, like, you know, what teacher was saying. So I was just trying to go with it. And I was in ESL classes and, you know, tried my best, obviously. But I think that was more of an experience for me because I, you know, I went to school. But when I was leaving Italy, I think I was too young to really grasp, like, oh my God, I'm leaving my family behind. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, they'll come visit more. Like, I thought, I don't know. It was sad, but I was too young, I think.
Yeah, and I think certainly one of the big differences is, you know, you could get in touch with a phone call or you could do a video and things like that. You know, I have one of my cousins over there, his mother saved everything. And I didn't know anything about these people up until just a couple of years ago. And he found a picture that I had from my grandmother, but he sent me the photograph, the same photograph that she sent to her father. On the back, it says, from your dear daughter to my dear father, so you don't forget. So she knew she was never going to see him again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's when you see that, it's kind of bittersweet. So now, where in New York, I'm assuming you came to New York, but where in America did you settle?
In New York, yeah. So I'm not in the city. I'm in Westchester County. It's about an hour away from the city. I've always lived here once I lived in the U.S.
And so now, you know, what did your mom do when she got here? Did she work or?
Yeah, so my mom didn't work in Italy. So when she came here, she obviously had to work, and she worked in the cafeteria in an elementary school because she also wanted a job that aligned with my school hours and, like, the days off. So my great uncle was actually, like, in the school system. So he was able to get her in the cafeteria. So that's pretty much, like, what she did.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a, you know, really, really great story. And so, you know, when you talk about the American dream, Americans forgot the American dream.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
So I'm looking for the right question for you. What drove you? What do you think drove you that may not be driving us? I think this is important for young, not that I have a lot of young listeners, but you can replay this. You know, what do you think's missing? What do you think we're missing?
I think one thing that I always had that drive is because like I lived through it. So I lived through like, you know, like it was like a life-changing experience. Like I had to watch my mom work when like she wasn't used to working. Like my house in Italy was a million times nicer to like the where we moved in here. So like I went from like something, like it's easy to go from something bad to something good, but then when you have something good and that's taken away, like that's, you know, like that's not fun. Like no one wants that. So when you go through that experience and you're like, wait a second, I never want to relive this. But then like you think like, okay, then I'm going to have kids. I never want my kids. Like I don't have kids right now to go through that. So I think that's a lot of like what I'm like the driving force behind it. And also just in general, like having like the American dream, because my mom gave up so much, you know, like, and so much sacrifices. Like it would have been so much easier for us to just stay in Calabria. My grandparents' house, they have a big house. We could have stayed there. It would have been a lot more comfortable for everybody and easier to do that than to move here. So I'm thinking, okay, well, all these people, like my mom, even my grandparents, like sacrificed like so much that I'm like, if I'm not successful, like, you know, like being able for to one day like be like set my mom up in a way that like she's comfortable, like so it's kind of like just paying it forward.
Yeah. So what did your grandfather do in Italy? He must have done well for himself.
Yeah, so my grandfather actually, he lived here for a couple of years with my grandmother and everybody. My mom actually was born here, and that's why I was able to get my citizenship very easily here. My mom was born here, American citizen. They moved back when she was 4 years old because my grandfather was like, okay, like I made my money in America, but I want to live in Italy. I want my family to be in Italy. So he had a store in town, like a little like convenience, like grocery store. And that's how like he basically made a living.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I love those kinds of stories. And, you know, I could never figure out why my father's parents came because of the same reason. My grandmother, she lived a good life. And the only person who was here was her aunt. And the only thing I could think of, because I never thought to ask when I was a kid, and I love that you keep a diary. That's so smart. I wish I did that. Everybody should do that. Because it would have been a lot easier writing my books if I did that.
Yes.
I don't understand why. And the only thing I could figure out is that for the same reason she maybe thought, or they maybe thought that World War I was just breaking out, and maybe they felt that they would be safer here. Or her aunt, I think her husband was like an entrepreneur of sorts. So maybe he said, well, come and I'll start you up in a business. Mm-hmm. Because my grandfather and his brother, they made bridal veils and bridal crowns
I love that.
On 14th Street in New York City. So, I don't have the whole story, and it makes me crazy, you know, yeah, not knowing the whole story. So now was your family in that village for, you know, hundreds of years?
That's where I go in the summer now. Like, I stay at my grandparents' house. They both passed away, but they obviously their house is still there. So that's typically where I go and I stay.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. That's just great. I wish I had a house in Italy. I just love it.
I like it because it's also like you're staying in a house. So I do a lot of traveling, but I always end up going to Calabria, especially now my fiance is also from there. So we always go there because like he also has family he wants to see. So like, and I love going there. I love the beach. So any place that has a good beach, like I'm happy. So, but it's nice that we have like houses there instead of just like having a hotel because it's more comfortable when you're in your own house, you know.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And did your grandparents speak Italian or dialect or both?
So they definitely spoke dialect. They spoke Italian too, but they spoke both. So I don't speak dialect, but I can understand the dialect from Calabria just because I was around it.
Yeah, and it's such a different language. It really is.
Yeah, I understand it just because I grew up with it.
So let's talk a little bit, about your podcast. What do you focus on when you do your podcast, and what would excite people about it?
Yeah, so my podcast is called Passport to Thrive. And my podcast, I interview guests and I talk a lot about. I have a marketing firm that focuses on social media and online branding. So my podcast is a little bit of marketing mixed in with some self-development and entrepreneurs, like mindset tips. So it's a little bit of that. It's not really an Italian American podcast, but it's from me. So it's definitely has like that immigrant kind of like mindset weaved in just because that's my story. It's my life.
Yeah, no, that's good. And like I
Yeah.
said, I listened to a couple of them, and now, so are you still doing some of the other things like Italy in the Jar and that kind of stuff?
So I am no longer doing my candles just because I'm focused on my consulting firm and that just took over. I loved doing the candles, and maybe that's something I'll do in the future. But right now, I just had to focus on one thing, and then consulting was just where I had to pay the most energy to.
No, I can understand that, and that's certainly a big job. So now, how about your dad's family? Where were they from? And
They're
you said
from the
he
same
was in
town.
he was in the army.
Yeah, so they're this in the same town as. Like where like my grand like my mom and him went to high school together, so it's the same town.
And so now you said you travel a lot. Do you do that as just for pleasure, or are you doing it as part of, your entrepreneurship and things like
I do it
that?
for pleasure, to be honest. I do it for pleasure. Like when I'm there, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, that's great. I'm retired,
I'm
so
like,
you
I am
know.
on vacation. I am just living my best life for, you know, when I go there.
Yeah, that's great. So, like I said, I don't have a lot of young listeners. I do have a few here and there. But forgetting about the immigrant thing and all of that kind of
Yeah.
stuff, what would you suggest to somebody young like you that wants to start a business, or start a podcast or do something online?
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
So my biggest tip I would say is, so I wanted to start my page. I started an Instagram page in 2019. I wanted to start it in 2016, and I didn't because I kept second guessing myself. I was scared. Didn't know. I'm like, okay, well, am I going to be perceived? Why would anybody even care? And then I just one day, I probably was just like mad. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. And because I was seeing other people that were less qualified than me doing what I wanted to do. And I think that just angered me so much that I said, okay, like this stops now. Like we're doing this and that's it. So I know like a lot of people say just start, but like that really is like do your research and just go for it because at the end of the day, like whenever you're starting something new, you're not going to be good at it, like at anything you do in life. So you might as well just get over it and do, you know, be bad at whatever you're trying to do. And then you're just going to get better. And that's it. Like there's no like fast track. You just have to literally start it and do the work and just accept that my first podcast episode was bad. My first Instagram post was bad. Like my first LinkedIn post was bad. But then you grow, you evolve, and you learn. And that's how you're going to get there. but or else like you're just going to watch other people that don't have the skill sets that you may have, but are doing the things that you want to do. And I like to me that would just put me like would put me in such like a bad mood. And I wish like I would have started earlier, now looking back, because I wanted to do this like 3 years before I actually started. So
Yeah,
yes, my
and
sons.
it makes a lot of sense. And I did the same thing. I didn't know anything about doing all this, and I
Yeah.
go back and listen to my first podcast, and it's like, oh my God, this was horrible. And my wife would tell me, "You talk too much. Let the people." So I try not to talk as much as I used to talk. But she said, "You need to listen to them. They're telling their story. You don't." But I started just with the blog and writing my own stories. And then I wanted to get other people's stories, and that's why I evolved into the podcast and now
Love
doing
that.
one on the YouTube, because as you probably know, Italian Americans, we have a lot of different stories, but in some ways they're all similar, if
They're
you
all
know what I
very
mean.
similar. That's what I found. Like the theme, it's very similar, you know?
Yeah, and certainly, one of the things that I'm trying to do is connect the generations, two and now getting on three generations behind me, because I feel, and there's some of us, around my age, that feel that the Italian Americans, we're losing our identity, and we want to try and connect them back to Italy and make them see that. And I was just on a call this morning with somebody that I'm working with who does these, tour, did my tours. And I said to her, we were talking about videos and things. And I said, what I really loved when I was there, and I said, and people like when I put it out there, is when there's a group in Italy, either doing, a dance, from the region, or a song from the region, but in Calabrian dialect or Barese or something like that. I said, people love that. I said, my wife and I were watching an Italian movie one time, and all of a sudden there was a hip hop song came on. And we were like, they have hip hop in Italy. And Simone this morning says, yes, we have a lot of that stuff. I said, well, maybe that's the connection to some of the young people. There's hip hop and things like that going on in Italy. And so, like I said, we want to try and make that connection back. And that's why I think if we get, more people like you out there that are younger. The other thing that and you may have realized, know this firsthand, is that Italian Americans don't realize how much Italians appreciate us going back.
Yes, I think so, for sure. I think they love when Americans go because I feel like they're like, oh, well, someone appreciates our culture, like they care enough. So like they like that.
Yeah,
When my
yeah.
fiance and I went, we went in 2021. It was COVID. And we're like, okay, we're not doing another summer like here. I'm like, we're going. And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, however we get there, we're going. So we went, and I think it was the best year to go because we ended up going to the Amalfi Coast, and it was like nice because there wasn't, but like they were so, when they're like, oh, where are you guys from? And we're like, oh, we're from like America. But like, I swear we were like the only Americans there. So they're like, oh, like they were so nice to us. They're like, you guys came. Like they were all like excited. I'm like, yeah, like we came. Like we're staying here for a couple of days. Then we're going to see, fa like, we're going to stay with family. So like, that was the other reason. I'm like, we'll go for like 4 days there. And then like, we'll drive down to Calabria. And like, and then we're just like with like, family, we're in a home, so we're like, this is like, it was like safe enough for us, and like, we just were like, we're not staying here, we're not missing another summer, so we went, but they were so happy to see us.
Yeah, we were supposed to go the April of the year COVID hit, and we were on the fence. Should we? Could we? And then everything just got shut down, and it took us like it was 2.5 years before we finally got there. We
Right,
went
most
in
people didn't
September.
start traveling till 2022. I feel like everybody that, like I say, like, no, we went in 2021. They thought I was like, they thought I, we were crazy. And then we came back, like, everything, thank God, went well. But we're like, we had the best time. And they're like, oh, damn, I should have gone.
Yeah, we had post we were going to go in September of 2021, and then there was another big wave, and then they
Yeah.
had I guess those zones,
Yeah.
going on.
Yeah, we went. It was like great timing because it was August, with like end of July, August, like the restrictions were lifted, like pretty much like here and there. Like there was like some regulations, but like you could work around it. Like it was very easy. And then we're just like, okay, like we were there for 2 weeks and it was fine.
Yeah, when we did finally go in June of 2022, they was just getting to where, you didn't need to do anything. In fact, when we came back, it finally didn't have to be tested and everything. But
Right.
when we went, we had to get the COVID test, and I was going with it was my wife and my son and daughter. And my daughter is in Texas, so she was going to meet us in Kennedy Airport and all of that. And we had to get the test, and I was like, what if one of us winds up
I
testing
know.
positive before we
That's
go?
what we were like thinking of, like, okay, what if we test positive when we come back? I'm like, are we all staying? I'm like, what's the deal? I'm like, is it like we all stay? I'm like, or is like just one person, like what? But like, thankfully it didn't get to that. But we were all thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm like, if me and my fiance, like, like if I test positive and he doesn't, I'm like, does he come back? I'm like, meanwhile in my head, I'm like, he better stay with me. I'm like, you better not leave me.
Well, we had tickets. We had tickets for the Vatican, and
Okay.
they said you had to have the test 72 hours before,
Yeah.
up to 72 hours, and we had the 48 hour test,
Okay.
except for my daughter. She did the other test. So I was like, well, what if we go? What if we test and then we test positive, the second day in Italy, and then we can't do all the other
Yeah.
stuff that's planned, and then
Yeah, no, it's hectic.
yeah. So I said to my wife, I
Hectic.
said, you know what? I said, let's go. If they tell
Yeah.
us we can't go in, we won't go in. We get there, nobody's checking anything. There were
Yeah.
a million people walking through the Vatican, no
Yeah.
masks, no nothing, and we were fine. So,
Yeah. It was fine.
yeah. So yeah, we got through it, and thankfully, things are back to normal and everything.
Yeah.
So before we go, how do people get in touch with you if they, want to be on the podcast, or if they want some of
Of
your other
course.
services?
Yeah, so my website is dmbconsulting.co, and you can find me on LinkedIn, just my name, or you can find me on Instagram. It's DeAnnMarie_Pissera, or my business Instagram is DMB Period Consulting.
That's great. That's great. And I really appreciate you taking the time. This has been a lot of fun. And like I said, I love talking to people who moved here from Italy.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.